would be Kelly Butler, who is representing the Barksdale Reading Institute. She's the CEO, and she is speaking in favor. And I believe Barksdale Reading Institute was one of the organizations vital to Mississippi's reading progress. So, Kelly, can you hear from me?
I can hear you, and okay. I'm glad to be with you all today.
All right.
Hope my Wi-Fi remains stable for the next few minutes anyway. We've been having some issues here. I've been taking a lot of notes through this conversation, and I want to applaud Wisconsin for tackling this issue. I have written testimony, but I'm going to depart from it a little bit because I want to not duplicate what others have said, and I really want to try to address some of the questions that have been raised and some of the concerns that I'm aware of. First thing I want to do is give you a little context about me and who I am. I'm with the Barksdale Reading Institute, which was formed in 2000, which was the same year the National Reading Panel produced its report and codified essentially the five components of reading. Jim Barksdale gave a $100 million commitment to the state to create the institute with the singular purpose of improving early literacy. And so we hit the ground running with the science of reading, introduced that parlance early on. This was early in the days of Reading First, where there was a big push to try to introduce science into how we delivered instruction. Through the course of 20 years, we have worked at every level of the system in Mississippi, including teacher preparation, which has been another initiative that we've gotten some national interest in. And I guess what I want to say about that is by the time the state passed the Literacy-Based Promotion Act in 2013, Barksdale had been trying and testing a lot of avenues for how to teach early literacy, given that that was our singular focus and that we were well-schooled in the science of reading. We brought in all the experts along the way, including Mark Seidenberg, to help us understand how the brain processes language. So we have been working shoulder to shoulder with the State Department. We loaned two of our senior staff when the Literacy-Based Promotion Act was passed, and essentially the rollout of the Literacy-Based Promotion Act took the Barksdale model to scale. What our model included was high-quality professional development, high-quality materials, early screening, effective Tier 1 instruction, effective interventions, regular progress monitoring, parent engagement, and supporting with coaches. We involved school leaders in the work that we did. And so by the time the Act came into being, we were really ready to go to scale. What we had was a strong leader and team, a leader who put together a strong team at the State Department of Education in the form of Kerry Wright, who joined us just as we were about to roll out. She put an emphasis on prevention, not retention. And together we created, and with strong leadership and talent from Kenyanna Burke, I hope you all will put her on your speed dial because she can be an enormous resource for what you are about to undertake. We were able to work shoulder to shoulder and really provide some leadership to a state that was floundering. One of the things that I want to say, and I can say it from the privilege of the sidelines to a certain extent, even though I'm really in the trench, but I'm not part of the state system, is that what this is about is changing adult behavior. And you've opened the Pandora's box. You cannot close it now. And what you are witnessing and living through is a seismic shift in education and the role of systemic change that begins with adult behavior. And I think that while it's nice and we want to change hearts and minds, we want to persuade those who are not in agreement on whatever side the issue is, that fundamentally what this is about is changing how we're delivering reading instruction, and that means changing adult behavior. And one of the things that the Literacy-Based Promotion Act did was it essentially said, it first of all, I think really made educators sit up and say, and school leaders in particular, maybe we don't know how to teach reading because we've had this abysmal results for so long. And so they rolled up their sleeves, took a big dose of the science of reading, and we required that they change what they were doing wholesale. We blinded the state with this professional development, and we blinded the state with coaches who were in there working shoulder to shoulder with teachers. And as soon as we began to change those reading instruction behaviors, kids began to learn to read. And so while I know there's been some conversation today about the differences, is this your science or my science? Science that we're talking about is cognitive research that is based on the medical models and on gold standard research, which is indisputable. And while research changes over time, as we continue to do more and learn from more, we need to be following what the science is telling us now. And it's pretty clear. One of the gifts you have in Wisconsin is Mark Seidenberg, and I understand he's not able to join you today. But Mark has really helped teachers all across this country understand how the brain processes language in order to learn to read. And his conceptual models around that work have informed lots of teachers on how to deliver more effective reading instruction and the role that screeners play in being able to determine what those deficit skills are early on and why even that those are the skills that predict future reading performance. So I guess I want to really leave you with this sense that there's that this is a hard thing. The good news is we know how to teach every child to read. That's the good news. It's not like we're still floundering around trying to figure that out. We know that. What we have to do is to get it into every classroom. I want to say a little bit about the focus of this initiative, which is the screener, and there's been a lot of conversation already, and I won't go over that, the benefits of it. But I do want to speak to a couple of things. One is there were some concerns expressed about will it over-identify for special education. While screeners grew out of the IDEA law, it quickly morphed into regular education because it was seen as a terrific way not to direct kids toward special education, but to screen them early enough to keep them out of special education. And let me say one thing about special education. It's a myth that it's the solution. It's a cul-de-sac. Kids end up being directed to special education, and they never get out. And it doesn't always do the job it's intended to do. For the very same reasons that general ed is failing kids, special ed is also failing kids in many cases, because the adults need to know how to deliver effective reading instruction. So we've got a lot of learning to do. And I'm not bashing teachers. I'm just saying it's time for us as a profession to stand up and say, there's a lot of science here that we need to be paying attention to if we're going to change the way we assess and deliver instruction. I also want to speak to the issue of time. It's already been noted that these screeners don't take very long. But let me tell you that it will save time in the long run. Not only is it not a time-consuming effort, and it's important to do it at least three times a year and the progress monitoring in between, but ultimately it's going to save kids time because it's going to catch those deficits early, remediate them so kids can go on and make use of the rest of their education. In my tenure at the Rochdale Reading Institute, I have tested thousands of kids, including middle and high school kids who are still struggling with phonemic awareness. And by that time, it's never too late to teach somebody to read, but by the time you finally find that deficit in a middle or high school student, they have already missed a whole lot of other reading development in terms of vocabulary and background knowledge that then compromises further learning and especially their ability to write, which is a critical thing that they're going to need for college. So I want to turn that time issue on its head and say, save time in the long run by devoting this important time now. And the other thing I would like to say is that what this initiative can do is serve as an on-ramp for introducing teachers and school leaders to some of the fundamental frameworks based on the cognitive science that help explain the reading process and inform instruction. It's a way to introduce and help folks get acclimated to what we're talking about when we say the science of reading. It is not all that mysterious, but it's really important and it's become pretty clear. So from my point of view, this is a matter of changing adult behavior and an openness to what we don't know. I would offer up Carrie Wright. I take the liberty of offering her up to the State Department, your Department of Public Instruction, about the role that a strong State Department can play in this initiative. If you're gonna lift a state off the bottom, while local control is central to public education, you cannot do it school by school. You cannot let everybody decide how they're gonna do it. If there's a way to do it that way and do it everywhere. This is not a piecemeal thing. Mississippi did it in about 15 months to get everybody up onto the same page and immersed, and then you'll see our trajectory of NAEP within that five-year span. It went straight up, and it's because we blanketed the state with science of reading. I'll say one more thing, and then I'll take your questions, and that is we are in a pandemic, and there's concern that this is one more thing we're adding to an already frustrating and somewhat debilitating situation. And I would say that in terms of this screener, it could perhaps provide a clear framework for all your K-3 students that might, in fact, provide some welcome stability and structure in the midst of the pandemic instead of viewing it as a distraction. So let me take a breath there. I was hoping to tee up Mark Seidenberg, but I do hope you'll take advantage of them. And I understand you also have some testimony from Steve Dykstra. We have worked closely with both of these gentlemen who are giants in the reading field. And we brought them to Mississippi. We brought Mark Seidenberg to Mississippi, spent a day talking to the literacy coaches, our higher ed faculty. That's a whole nother conversation. And our legislative education committees. Why did we do that? Because he has deep knowledge about the brain, how it processes language for reading. Educators don't need to be neuroscientists, but they do need to understand how human beings process language, especially the young ones who need to be explicitly taught how to extract that language from the printed page. I'll leave you with this last thought. What you are entertaining to replace the current reading readiness assessment program with the three-tiered early literacy screening process is based on sound science. There are plenty of states who have already done this. This may not be a reason to do it, but I'm from one of them that did do it, and it made all the difference. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your testimony. And before I go on to questions, I want to announce who's going to be up as soon as we're done with questions to Kelly. Ben Niehaus will be up next. Is Ben here? There he is. Okay, so you can start making your way up there and get yourself set. All right, then you mentioned a couple individuals here. I just want to make sure that committee members are aware of who this is. Mark Seidenberg is in Madison, at least around Madison anyway. He is a professor at University of Wisconsin. I believe he's a neurologist by trade. Is that accurate? I'm looking at the audience members who might know that better than I, seeing nodding, correct. There was another person mentioned. Now the name has slipped my mind. Stephen Dykstra was mentioned, and he has submitted testimony here today, and I would encourage you to read that. All right, are there questions from committee members for our video guest? I'm not seeing any. So I just have one quick question, and it's just really just a small little piece of what you said. You mentioned phonemic awareness, and quizzing myself here, that's basically the relationship between letters and sounds, correct?
Phonemic awareness is the is the ability to identify and distinguish between the sounds and spoken in speech. So it's the smallest unit of sound, and when we read, we map those sounds to the letters, which is the fundamental basis of reading, which is why understanding and being able to break the code is important.
Okay, just want to make sure committee members had an opportunity to know what that meant since you had mentioned it. Any questions?
Let me just say that all of you who are reading testimony are reading it at the phoneme level. whether your brain is quite practiced now, so you recognize those words instantly, but when you learn to read, when your brain began to process that language, you did it at the phoneme level. And that's one of the things the screener will help do, is determine whether or not kids have that phonemic awareness.
All right, thank you. We appreciate you being here today.